Well, we live in a time that I think we need to be praising Him and thanking Him for the times He hears our prayers and He moves. And, you know, not only when He seems like He maybe doesn't hear our prayers, we still need to praise Him and lift His name above all names. Amen. Good to have you once again. Good to have our visitors with us. Acts chapter 2. I ask for you to pray this service today. Preaching on a subject I don't recall preaching on before. And as you're finding Acts chapter 2, if you, let's just read Acts and we'll talk a while. How about that? Acts chapter 2, verse 37. It said, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this service. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come and preach your word. Lord, we just ask that you'd move, and realizing that without your anointing, we're nothing. Lord, touch the remainder of this service. If there's one that doesn't know you, we pray, Lord, speak to their hearts today. Lord, we realize that time is running out. Realize, Lord, without you, we're nothing. And we want to praise you for today. Strengthen those that might be down. Lord, encourage those that might need encouraging. And we'll praise you for it once again. Anoint us to say what you want said in this service, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for standing. Acts chapter 2 was some world-changing events going on there. Matter of fact, the world was never the same and will never be the same. And I know there's some of us here, hopefully all of us here, have had things happen with our relationship with God that has changed our lives. And I realize that we're living in a time that folks will tell you things have changed and there's other avenues to serve God and there's other things that we can do, and we don't have to do this and don't have to do that. And I realize that there's a lot of things in this Bible we can't just say for sure, for certain, this must be done. But there is one thing that I feel like that's we can find through these scriptures that God has been dealing with me this last week. Now, you can look at Ed and say, that's Ed. And this message is all for Ed. Just listen to it, okay? And when I get done preaching what God's given me, if I preach what God's given me this last week, you won't get in time for Taco Bell. It'll still be open. I'll be closed. But I'm going to preach to you my heart. And there's something I feel like we as a church. Now, for certain, if we can just back up a little bit here. There's something about this scripture right here. There was something happened to them. They were pricked in their heart. And that was not something that is talked up, sang up, played up. That's simply the Spirit of God. Can I have a witness? You can't get good enough. You can't get fancy enough. You can't get plain enough. You can't get humble enough. It just, the Spirit of God pricked your hearts. With that being said, I feel like that as a church, now there's one thing for certain, that when a sinner comes and doesn't know Christ, and they hear the word proclaimed by the truth of this word, whether it be me say it or whoever the case may be that might preach this word, there should be something happen. there should be convicted of their sins. That's what happened there. They heard about it. Peter was up there saying, you know, Jesus, was back up a little bit more in Acts. Jesus was the man that was a false prophet. And he wasn't true. He wasn't the Savior. He wasn't the Messiah. But yet he told him, he said, I'm going to rise again in 3 days and I'm going to send back a comforter for you. Are you with me? So what they didn't think, and then they begin to hear, and as Peter come up and he said, boys, after the Holy Ghost had came back in the upper room and the power of God came upon this earth like has never been and never will be again. And praise God, it come to the position that they could serve God and have a relationship with Him. And the Holy Ghost dwells inside of you and I. As many knows, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what the Word says. Now He dwells inside of us. And as they found that out, and Jesus said, Peter said, this is that that's been prophesied by Joel. And I can proclaim to you this morning, this is what God has said to us in 2010. God's been dealing with me this last week about the conviction. I begin to look that over. First of all, I begin to think about Brother Eddie, your pastor. I begin to wonder a little bit about how I've been conducting my life. What am I thinking about? Do I ever have my heart pricked? And do I ever listen to Him when He pricks my heart? Conviction is something we used to see. Let's just look at the world for just a few minutes before we get over on us church people. Let's look at the world a few minutes. It used to be 50 and 40, 40, say 25 years ago, it used to be you could go to the schoolhouse and there was a little bit of people that was there, and absolutely the sinner had more convictions about his life and more respect for those of authority than the church does today sometimes. You realize this. Used to be that when a young man come to sit down at the table, and I realize time is so fast now, we don't hardly have time to sit down and eat dinner. Used to be when that young man would come and sit down at the dinner table, he had to have a shirt on and his cap off. Oh, that's little things. No, it's not. It's things that's changed the absolute complexion of this world. Now you find that teachers like Sister Marty and other teachers here, don't forgive me if I don't call your name, but different ones that are teachers in our schools, now they come to the place they have to guard and have guards and things along that line. A police officer has to be at the schoolhouse just to keep somebody from going bazooka and killing somebody. Can I say the world has even slipped a little bit? And yet we find today that there used to be that a young man, this old grandpa might sit down or daddy might sit down, and if one of the boys would get out of line and say something a little cross to his mama, he'd backhand him and say, you ain't talking to your mama that way, boy. Now I'm talking about the world then. Have we allowed conviction to slip away from the church a little bit, church? I think we have. The world has got to the position, I can tell you right now, the reason me and the world's in the shape it's in right now, there's no conviction. They have no conscience. There's no conscience. We are convicted by the Holy Spirit. God give us, and I'm no psychologist, and Sister Marty, help me if I get wrong here, but God give us something on the inside called a conscience. And somehow, some way, the way He designed us, our conscience will come to us and say, don't you be doing that. And now as a blood-bought child of the King, I have the Holy Spirit to say, don't you be doing that, boy. And church, I'm glad to believe today that we have allowed our conscience to be seared in such a way that there's no conviction today. This world has no conscience. They can murder and kill babies by the millions and by the multi-millions and say, it's your choice. They can find themselves and women marrying women and men marrying men and say, it's because God loves everybody. He don't want us to be sad. And their conscience, that hard iron, just keeps searing that conscience to the point that they have no idea what they're doing. Are you hearing me? Might ask ourselves the question, are we on the right road? Yet we can find preachers stand behind the pulpit and say, you send me your money and you'll be blessed 100-fold and receive that harvest that God's got for you. And I won't talk to you about your sin. I'm preaching good now. And then we'll find, well, praise God. Can I get to this? I'm still on the world a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes you can't tell the difference in the world of the church. Are you with me? Hey, what's happened to conviction? We're convicted today. Why? We should be convicted when we sin. And yet we find ourselves, oh, it's okay. I'm justified to be whatever. What about conviction? Used to be the preacher could get up and stand behind the pulpit and preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, repent, repent. And the walls, the altars would be full. What's happened to us? Oh, yes, we can blame the pulpit if we want to. And I can tell you that's probably no doubt where it started. But what about me? Can I get up there on judgment day and say, well, Brother Eddie didn't do this? He'll say, depart from me. I don't know yet. But yet, can we find ourselves? Conviction has left us. What is conviction? Conviction is simply the process of being condemned of one's own conscience as a sinner because of God's demands and because of God's laws. We can realize we're wrong. They can try to analyze and find out some way that they can try to figure out that they can live a life of sin. You can call it whatever you want to, but we cannot willfully sin and make heaven our home. We'll find where he speaks over in Corinthians. He says that if you willfully sin, there remains no sacrifice. We cannot trample the sacrifice of the blood of Christ that was given for us. What about conviction? So, while God starts talking to me about this, I begin to think about me. You realize this? I can't get you straightened up no better than I can anything else in this world. Because you know what? I'm not called to get you lined up, or you lined up, or you lined up. God called me to preach the truth and take care of Ed. If I could save my boy, thank God he's born again. If I could save him, I'd save him in a heartbeat. If you're here lost and undone, and I could throw you at this altar and have the blood of Christ apply to your life, I'd grab you by the nape of the neck and the seat of the pants, and I'd throw you in this altar and get you saved. But I can't do it. If you're here this morning walking in sin, willfully going against the blood of Christ, I would take you to this altar. I would lay my hands on you, and I'd say, my God, forgive them and set them free. But all I can do is preach the truth. So I begin to talk about myself. I begin to think about myself. Because you know what? I've got to get myself lined up. I don't stand here a perfect man. I don't stand here someone that doesn't make a mistake. I stand here a man serving the perfect God. You say, preacher, you've done something wrong, haven't you? I certainly have down through my lifetime. And I begin to examine my life in this last week. And I tell you what, church, I believe we as Christians, I talked about the world, they should be convicted because they're lost. What about the church? What about this blood bought? What about us holy rollers? What about us good Baptist folks? What about us good Church of Christ folks? What about us Nazarenes? Can you hear me this morning? If their sin begins to move in our lives, should we be convicted? What's happened? I'm asking us this morning again. Have we got off on the road? What has happened to conviction? There's no conviction out there. This church world is going downhill. Trying to pull out one scripture to say it's okay to sin. It's not. No. So I began to pray. My God, he began to shake me around this last week. Last few days, the wife said, are you having trouble breathing? No, I'm having trouble keeping myself together because I feel conviction upon my life. How about you this morning? Has anybody ever been convicted because we're not walking right with God? Now let's get down where we live this morning. I begin to look at my life, and I want to tell you right now, honey, I want you to forgive me for anything I've ever done or said. Sometimes I take her for granted. Sometimes I get so busy in life, I don't take time to spend with her. Are you with me? Will you forgive me? You see what happens sometimes. We get a little prideful in ourselves, and we're too good to say, will you forgive me? If I've done something to offend you, would you forgive me? Are we convicted of our sins? Instead, we bristle up and we say, I'm okay where I'm at. Right now, I'm doing okay. Are you? Little things. Attitude. What about that attitude? Can I say, well, I might as well get out here where I'm here. Oh, you say, preacher, you got yourself in this mess. Get yourself out. Lord, you're with me. You know what I anticipated this morning? I anticipated a satanic force against what I had to say. But you know what I also expected? I expect the Holy Ghost to be with me because I'm preaching God's truth. Yet we find ourselves being motivated, manipulated by what somebody says or somebody does. I'm here to tell you right now, we can't allow that to happen. We find ourselves today, are we convicted? Let's get down where we live. That's my husband. That's my wife. I've got a license to say what I want to say. Oh. Are you convicted? And yet what happens is this. Oh, can I get out here a little bit farther? We come to the altar and we get ourselves purified by the blood of the Lamb. And He saves us. And can I just get out where we really live? We might have talked a little bit of foul language and said a few things we shouldn't say. And the next thing you know, we begin to override that conviction. Can I preach to you a while? We begin to override that conviction. And the next thing you know, you begin to slide back and slide back and slide back. And the next thing you know, if you'll just stop and think, I'm just about back where I started from. Because you've override conviction. Because the Holy Spirit will kick you and you feel so bad and so down because you know you've done wrong. But yet you say, I guess I'm okay. And then it just slides a little bit farther. Can I ask the question again? What road are we on? Do we ever have conviction in our lives anymore? And then we find ourselves, those things that we were convicted of when we first got saved, now we can just go right ahead and do them and never have any kind of hiccup. You know why? Because we're not convicted. We're not to the place you're sitting back there saying, you sit and think whatever you want to. Oh, preacher's done this and preacher's done that. That's okay. But I can tell you what, when I get convicted, I know one thing. I'm going to get things right with God. Now, let's just, since I'm really out here, let's just dive off in the deep end. Yet we find the world. Can I say this? We should be understanding that the world has problems. Remember, their hearts were pricked because of what they heard. My heart's been pricked because of what I've heard. He's talked to me this week. It's my prayer that He talks to you. If not, you can just say, boy, Holy Ghost really worked Brother Eddie over. And I'll accept that fine because He has. Yet we find today in the church world, it'll be understandable. Here I go getting controversial again. I'd suggest you next week start praying. Give Brother Eddie something to make us feel better. I'd be glad for it. I'd welcome it. Yeah, you would expect problems like this in the world, but you shouldn't expect things like this in the church. I won't even call names, but I can tell you, and some will know who I'm talking about, I can tell you some church-going, blood-bought Christian people that's got some young men and young, there's two sons in this family. And this one son has told his mother just a few months back, said, don't even come to my graduation. Don't want you at my wedding. Now I can tell you something right now. When I'm on the outside looking in, I can tell you this, there's no justification for an attitude like that. Oh yes, I'm justified. Oh no, you're not. I almost find myself bypassing this young man because I feel something rise up in me and maybe the Holy Ghost will put me there and I can say something, not myself, but the Spirit of God can prick his heart. I can tell you right now, church, that's understandable in the world, isn't it? Mothers killing their babies and disowning and having prostitute and things along that. It's not acceptable in the church. Disown their children. My God, where have we gone to? I tell you where we've gone. We've overruled conviction. The Holy Spirit has come and convicted us and said, don't you do that. That's not right. And we just went ahead. And as we go on, that conscience begins to get seared and we find ourselves, it feels okay now. That's exactly why those that live in adultery and fornication and homosexual lifestyles, they've overrode their convictions. They've overrode their conscience and they say, well, I guess it's okay because I feel all right. You know why? We've not listened to the Holy Spirit. Church people, I'm talking. And I've decided, Brother Jamin, I appreciate you. I've been preaching on forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness. And my God, that boy, he heard what God said. If my whole church leaves because I preach the truth, that's just going to have to be it. Because I want to preach it. But you see, the church has got to the point, we're not convicted no more. We're justified. No, we're not. No, we're not. We've got to get back and realize to be Christ-like is to be a servant. To be Christ-like is to put somebody else ahead of you. To be Christ-like is to say when somebody does you wrong and says wrong things to you, it's to say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Whew. That's shouting ground there. You want to have some shouting ground around your life, around your home, you put out some forgiveness where it ain't deserved. Then you're going to feel something then. And yet we find ourselves, oh, there's no conviction there, preacher. You know why? Because we're too consumed with ourselves. Preaching real good now. It's too much about me, not about you. If Christ had come here and been about him, we wouldn't have had a Savior. We wouldn't have had a Savior hang on the cross and give his life blood with the elder that you and I might be saved. He wouldn't have done it. He'd have been Gethsemane and said, Lord, Father, here I am. Let this cup pass from me because I'm coming home. If it had been about him, that's what he'd have said. Instead of saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Understandable in the world, unacceptable in the church. Are you with me? I've had people, I've heard people badmouth talk about preachers. I just happen to be one of them. A preacher, that is. And you know what? We had a great pastor before the Lord called me to take this spot. Brother Gary, you know, I could find fault with that man. Anybody with me? But I could sure find a little tremendous great things that overcome anything bad I might could pull out and find. Are you with me now? I'm talking about conviction. If all we can focus on is what's wrong, you'll find yourself depressed, discouraged, mad, aggravated, dumped down the dumps. Come on, preaching real good now. But if we'll look and say, well, you know, that's probably wrong there, but look what's right here. Now, my wife probably has a tough time finding something like that in me, but if she'll look long enough, hard enough, she might be able to find something. Maybe. Well, I preach on miracles. I love my wife. I love my son. I love my family. I'm blessed. And yet I find myself being convicted. Have you ever been there? You know what he convicts me over more, just about more than anything? Is my attitude. He'll hit me on that just about quicker than anything is my attitude. And I can tell you right now, there's one can take care of that, and that's you. You get up and have a bad day. If you got to go back to bed and get up on the other side, whatever. I suggest a good old praying through would work. How many wants to do a little praying? Instead, we find ourselves going to justify ourselves for where we're at. Can we? No. Well, Lord, you know when I preached that message, they didn't nobody listen. You know, Lord, this is wrong, that's wrong, this wrong, that's wrong. You know I had a bad week, Lord. No excuse at all. Women, realize this. We men, and if you want to blame anybody, I guess you have to blame God because he made us different. Hello. I can sit there and look around at my wife and I say, I'm thinking, what is she crying about? Can I have another witness? And I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world? I'm thinking, come on, toughen up. Don't worry about this. What's the big deal? And then I'm going through my day, and I look over there, and she said, don't you even care? You didn't take time. And then you say, well, and you know what? I'm going to throw this in real quick. We got some newlyweds here. My wife and I, we've been in that a little over 20 years. And we've not hardly got the background some of you folks have got. Brother Barney, again, how many years? 82 years old. How long you been married? 58 years. Oh, let's give him another clap. Why don't we do that? My Lord. I tell you what, that's a blessing right there. You know what it is? It's all a give and take. It can't be one direction. It won't ever work. So I look around, I think, my Lord. And, you know, she realize this. She don't think about it like I think about it. And you say, well, I don't know about this, don't know about that. Next thing you know, you get mad because she's thinking one way. Can I just preach to you a while? Then the next thing you know, you find yourself having asked for forgiveness. If you don't, you're wrong. Boy, I'm preaching good. You see, what happens is, if we're not careful, we'll override that conviction. We'll forget about the fruits of the spirits in Galatians 5, the meekness and kindness and all these. I'm going to probably read them a little bit. We'll forget about those things and we'll ride over. And he said, if you will walk in the Spirit, he said, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to have more fruits to bear. How many can have that? You're with me this morning. Conviction's not there. Instead, if I'm not careful, I'll find myself... That woman just get aggravated. And I can tell you this real quick. Whew. I'm out here by myself. I might as well just go ahead, hadn't I? Only one I got on my side is Reno, and he's laughing at me. And when she has that moment of crying over nothing, boy, I got some good stuff there, didn't it? Did y'all feel that? It's nothing to me, but it is to you. When I say it, when I see it, it may be not something that affects me, but like the wife said, it should be. So then what happens is when that husband, he's not listening, he's not doing this, he's not doing that, the next thing you know, what happens is you got this going on. I didn't know I was going to do a marriage conference today. Should have saved this for Valentine's. Tape it, Brother Kerbo. We'll just play it. I'll stay in the other room. That way they won't be able to throw things at me. And so what happens is there begins to be a little bit of going back and forth. And not only does this happen with husband and wives, this happens with other folks. This happens with folks you work with. Old Joe says something he shouldn't say. Next thing, well, you're going to have to tell Joe. Are you hearing me this morning? But then what happens is, if I don't get off when the Holy Ghost convict me, then I begin to ride that over a little bit. And the next thing you know, I've got a big war going on here. Boy, I'm really preaching good now. I'm asking ourselves the question, what's happened to conviction? Not convicted. Preachers. Baptist preachers, Pentecostal preachers, could take children and molest them and say it's okay. You know why? No conviction. Deceived by this world. They were convicted, and he said, repent. There cannot be conviction in our life without forgiveness. It all goes together. The church today, as I said here a few weeks ago, we are to be together, worshiping and believing. Anybody with me? Instead, we're separated, we're apart. We try to find this wrong and that wrong. And I can tell you right now, God's not pleased with that. Is there but one way to worship him? You've got that right. He said, worship me in spirit and in truth. He didn't say Pentecostal Baptist. He didn't say any of those things. He said, you worship me in spirit and in truth. So if you think this is not a spiritual thing, you've got something wrong to start with. This is a spiritual walk. It's not by my works. It's not by the way I walk. And we got to walk the way that God set us to. But we're going to have a spiritual touch with God. Conviction comes, and if we're not careful, we'll override it. It's because of the commands, because of the word that God's given us, we should be convicted. Yet we find ourselves, let's just go over to Galatians real quick. We could touch on just a very few things of the works of the flesh that goes on, adultery, fornication. This is Galatians 5 at the end of the chapter, 20 on down through there. Towards the end of the chapter, we find here adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, and which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how do we have to have an interpretation of that? We cannot live those things in our life. And I can tell you right now, that touched every aspect of your life right there. Everything of your life. Cannot inherit. Unpure lifestyles, envy and strife, hatred. My God, where are we going to? Conviction is leaving us. Why? Because we've been overriding it. Are you with me? Conviction should be there in our lives. So when we walk in the Spirit, we'll find these fruits will begin to happen. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no such law. And that they that are Christ are crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, and let us walk in the Spirit. Let us do desires of the vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we must walk in the Spirit. And those things that convict us, we're going to have to take them to the cross. Are we finding ourselves today? Ask yourself this question. I want to ask you to stand. They would come get us a song. The Holy Spirit convicts us. I think it'd been good. It's been a quite lengthy process, but we've been studying in Jeremiah. Jeremiah preaching and prophesying and telling Judah what to do, what God said to do. And someone come by and said, you know, it's not going to happen this way. It's going to be like this. And they wanted to believe what they said. But Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord. And if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord, Babel's going to come down. There's going to be problems come. There's going to be wrath come if you don't hearken. And we're reading about how that's going to happen in their lives and how that's going to take place. And folks, today, I'll say this about this message. If you feel like this doesn't affect you, then that's between you and God. But I'm still believing that when he told me that conviction is where we're missing this at, I believe we're missing it with conviction. We've overridden it. We just don't listen to what the Spirit says. We go home, we say, well, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's just preacher. That's just him preaching at me. That's just him because he knows. Whatever the case may be, it's just because God said preach the truth. How about conviction this morning? I've asked my wife, and that's serious. I wasn't joking. If I've had a bad attitude and said things to her that hurt her feelings, I'm asked her this morning, forgive me. I can tell you right now, Mark 11:23 plainly says, I'm going to get on Brother Jamin's subject here. If we don't forgive, read it, we'll not be forgiven. Can't be. But if we will have the conviction in our lives and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what, then we're going to have the blessings come. How many wants the blessings to come? I'm praying God will let me preach on that next time. When we get things right with God, we'll be able to see God's going to move in those things in our lives. Father, today, thank you for this service. Lord, I pray, convict our hearts, starting with me, Lord, that we would walk softly. Those things that would be important to you are important to us. Lord, that we recognize we must come to you. Forgiveness, Lord, is where it's at. Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me this morning. Lord, that we would be what you want us to be. Father, this morning, if there's one that doesn't know you, we pray that you've convicted their hearts this morning, that they would come, as Peter said, to come and be repent and be baptized. Lord, they would repent of their sins and be made whole. Receive that gift. We'll praise you for it this morning. If there be one as they begin to sing.